Salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Welcome to episode 79 of the Disney Brit Podcast for Wednesday the 26th of October. It's great to have you with us once again for this special Halloween episode. And we're a bit down this evening because we're not all here. But I'm going to say hello, Craig.
A boo to you and a boo to you.
And you're in Orlando, aren't you?
I am. I haven't been to Halloween yet, but I'm going to do trick-or-treating on the Disney Dream this year. I think just to try something different.
Just for something a bit different. You're on the Disney Dream for Halloween, aren't you?
I am on for Halloween, and so, they are doing trick-or-treating.
They are doing trick-or-treating. That would be awesome. Some special Halloween stuff. That would be amazing. Have you headed over to Disney as of yet?
No, we haven't, though I am... I had a chat with our good friends and lovely neighbours this morning, and we are going to go to Food and Wine because it's a must, isn't it, when we come back off the Dream. But it's just been a bit... Not hectic, because, you know, pace in Orlando isn't hectic. We've had a few things to do. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing those and just chilling. So we haven't been yet.
You've only been there a couple of days, haven't you?
Yes.
So, you know, we'll let you off. But you'll notice Juz isn't here this evening. Juz was supposed to be here, and then his day job thing got in the way, which was a bit rubbish. So, unfortunately, he's had to rush off and sort out some major dilemma. So he's not going to be here this week, but that's fine because we've got loads of really, really great stuff. Basically, we've got the news, which we're going to bring you in a second. Then we've got Lindsay and Nick Branch, who are two of the guys who listen to the show. They went off to Disneyland Paris for their wedding anniversary and enjoyed the not-so-scary Halloween party over there. And they bring us a bit of a review. We talk to them about what they thought about that party. And then our good friend Emma Nicholson from the Disney Mamas panel is going to tell us all about her experiences over at Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party in Walt Disney World this year. As if that's not enough, a couple of days ago we did speak to Craig when his internet wasn't as good via the phone to ask him about his Disney Dream trip that he's got upcoming very, very soon. So we're going to bring you that.
Exciting.
It's very exciting. And
going on a boat. I got turned off calling it a boat. Apparently, the difference between a boat and a ship is a boat fits on a ship. A ship can't fit on a boat.
That's true.
There you go.
Yeah, that's very true.
It is a boat, though, isn't it? To be fair, it's a boat.
Are we going back to the Harry Potter One Street?
Yeah, well, it is a boat. You call it what it like, but it's a big boat.
It's a ship. And then, finally, we thought we'd give you an audio treat, because we don't really bring you very much from Disneyland. But each year, Disneyland has an overlay for the Haunted Mansion, which is this Nightmare Before Christmas overlay, and they have the Haunted Mansion Holiday, which combines Halloween and Christmas together. So we've got the audio from the actual attraction, so we're going to put that right at the very end of the show as well. It's about 16 minutes worth of audio there, so you can have a listen to that too. And that's going to be sort of our Halloween special episode for this year. We've got Craig going off on the Disney Dream. So next episode, we will no doubt have a load of stuff from him about his review and what he thought. And I'm off to Disneyland Paris next weekend for the Terrorific Night. So I'll be talking about that as well. So that's really cool too. So all our Halloween content will sort of carry on over to the next show as well. Right, Craig's not been over to Disney yet, but we've got plenty of Disney news to share with you, so let's get on with this week's Disney news and rumours.
Good morning, sire!
Good morning, Zazu.
Checking in with the morning report.
Fire away.
Starting off then, we want to give you a bit of Disney Brit news, and this is awesome, awesome news, and we want to say a massive thank you to the people over at touringplans.com, because Disney Brit has got a new sponsor. That is the guys over at touringplans.com. They have got an awesome website and offer an awesome service for those of you not heard of it before. Well, Craig, do you want to explain a little bit about what Touring Plans is, because I know you've used it much more than I have.
I have. So Touring Plans is something quite unique. So it's affiliated with the unofficial guide, which is the Bible of Disney guidebooks, updated every year by Bob Schneider and Len Tester. And Touring Plans is kind of a site that's developed from that. So it started off with a way that people could save basically 4 hours in your day on the park by following a kind of set route around the park, doing certain attractions in certain orders in certain times, depending on what your circumstances are. And, you know, the people behind it, Len and his team, Henry and all the guys at Touring Plans, actually are, you know, have degrees in statistics. This is what they do for a living. This isn't, you know, like me and Adam thinking, we know our way around Disney World. We've been there, you know, umpteen times. You should do this, this and this. This is actually based on data. And this is what I really like about the unofficial guide and Touring Plans, actually based on some other books that you can buy. Now, this is fact-based research. So what you basically do is, you know, the site is absolutely stunningly detailed. You can put in, it is me, Deb, the two kids. I'm with my mum, who's 69, my dad, who's 71. My brother's coming with me, and he's got two little kids who are 4 and, you know, newborn. You can put that all in. You can say, I want to have lunch at 1 o'clock, bam, 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 blah, 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 you know, in the computer, bang, bang, gives you a plan. And now this plan, you can then follow, and I have absolutely done this to a T. You follow it, and you will not wait more than 10 minutes for everything. Now, I tell you exactly how I know why this works and how it works perfectly. We did a touring plan, Debbie, when was it? The summer or April for Magic Kingdom. I wanted to use a proper one, so we put all the details in. I did a touring plan, and we followed it to the letter until it got to lunchtime, and our kids were a bit hungry, and we were supposed to ride Pirates of the Caribbean before have lunch at Pecos Bills, because you can even tell it where you have lunch, but, you know, it recommends Pecos Bills normally. So we said, I'll tell you what, we'll go and have lunch now in Pecos Bills, and then we'll do Pirates. Had lunch, went to Pirates, the wait was 45 minutes. So I thought, okay, all right, I'll speak to the cast member. What was the wait, you know, 25, 30 minutes ago? Oh, it was 10 minutes. So if I had followed the touring plan, 10 minutes all the way around. So, I mean, it is very, very good. The other thing is the site, the Touring Plan site has, which I use all the time, is the crowd calendar. So people like to plan their days when they come over here, and they like to plan, you know, what park on what day. And, you know, there's certain things that we tell you to do, you know, look at extra magic hours, look at when, the, you know, Fantasmic's on in Hollywood Studios and so on. But what the crowd calendar tells you is it rates every park on every day out of 10. So you know how busy they are. It tell you what is the best part to go to and what is the part to avoid. That is absolutely really, really useful. I think I use that every single time we decide, Debbie's nodding her head, what time, what part we go to see which is the best one to go to.
Yeah, because it gives you the crowd levels out of 10, and then you also get, like you said, the best parks to go to, the best to avoid, and also there's a notes area which tells you whether there's a Christmas party on, or when Thanksgiving is, whether there's a special event going on, things like that, that also give you an idea of whether to avoid it or not.
Now, the other thing that's with Touring Plans is, and it doesn't always work for us Brits because it's expensive, but if you have a phone provided by your work, so you work for the NHS and just is your webmaster and you can get your phone turned on when you're abroad, there's a program called Lines, which is an app that works on any phone. It's not iPhone, it's not Android, it works on any phone, a mobile app that gives you live wait times for the parks. Okay, absolutely live wait times. It is more accurate than Disney have themselves. It is based, again, on all of this data that they have. And you even see, and I have seen this a number of times, cast members, when you ask them how long the wait is, they go to their phone and they check Lines and tell you what the wait are in certain parks. So that
is true. Yes,
that is absolutely superb.
Len Tester, who's behind it all, telling me a story once how the guy at the Hollywood Studios, who was in charge of the Great Movie Ride, was actually checking Lines to update the time on the front, and Len was like, "No, don't do that. The whole point is we're following yours to set up ours. Don't use Lines to set up the actual times." But it is so close as well, and also it gives you the times for fast passes. So if you were to go to get a fast pass for an attraction now, it will tell you roughly what time you get one for, and also for the really, really popular attractions, it also tells you when they're expecting fast passes to run out for that particular day. And you're probably listening to this right now and saying, whatever, that's ridiculous, that would never work. I was an absolute skeptic at the time, thinking there's no way in a million years anyone could possibly have enough data to go around a park to make sure this works. There's no way Lines works, there's no way any of this crowd calendar stuff works, it's all a load of rubbish. And then I tried it and I was like, wow, actually, that works really well.
I'll tell you how I know the match data they have, in fact. Actually, in fact, Len and his good lady came to see us today, and we've had a drink with them this afternoon.
Afternoon tea, did you?
I've had afternoon tea with Mr. And he was telling us a story. He has two people that are based here in Orlando that are kind of retired couple that work full-time now for touring plans. Mm. One of them, on Sunday, rode Dumbo all day. They got on, got off, got on, got off, got on, got off. They did it all day. He's even had this guy who spent all Sunday having autographs with Mickey Mouse just to test the timings. And that's all he did all day long. In fact, it's got to the point now, Len was saying, that they have to call Disney before these two people are going into the park because security follow them around thinking that they're odd.
A bit strange.
They have to tell them that they're going in and what they're doing. And they get, you know, he was laughing saying, and you pay them to do this, you know. So that's kind of, you know, that is why they are so good. Now, the cost, yeah. You might think this is going to cost millions of dollars. It's $11 a year.
Yeah. Well,
that's all it's going to cost.
For all your stuff for Disney World. It's also available for Disneyland, and there are also touring plans available for Disneyland Paris, because there is an unofficial guide to Disneyland Paris as well. So they're available for all of those different ones. I'm going out to Disneyland Paris this weekend. Fingers crossed, I'm going to be using one of the touring plans for Disneyland Paris to see how that goes while I'm out there as well. So we'll report back on that once we've done that. But touringplans.com, do go and check them out. We thank you very much for sponsoring Disney Brit. Right, so let's do some Walt Disney World news then. And we're starting off in the Magic Kingdom with some news that I think is possibly the most controversial news Disney brought out for a little while.
Well then.
That's you.
Oh, is it me? Am I first?
Yeah, you're first with your Fast Pass news.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, this is an odd one. I'd never thought they would ever do this. But, you know, Disney's starting actually on Sunday. The day I arrived, they must have known I was coming. Magic Kingdom's testing Fast Pass tickets for a restricted viewing area for the afternoon Celebrate a Dream Come True parade. Now, it's going to be on for 1 month, and it will give people access to a small space by the castle. Fast passes are kind of expected to be given out randomly to guests as space is limited. Now, it's only kind of a test at the moment. There's no guarantee of it being permanent. Now, I've got a feeling I know where this area is because we, in the summer, had the privilege of some VIP seating for the Electrical Light Parade. And as you head, if you're going down Main Street, walk down, you know, having a little look at the windows, go past your Casey's, go to your castle, kind of head over to left as if you're walking to Liberty Square. There is a little bridge that takes you over to Liberty Square. Exactly as you go there, there is a kind of a bridge area where there were some beautiful white wrought iron benches. Maybe,
I know what you're on about.
I mean, 10 of them. That's where we sat for the VIP seating, and I imagine that's where this seating area is going to be for the parade. Because
is that
they don't.
A view? Is it
it's a brilliant view.
Right, okay.
When they did the VIP seating, nobody else was allowed on there. So the characters came over, they came over, interacted with you and went off. But even, you know, there's a cast member there. She was a British cast member there. She was really nice. But they don't let anybody on that area. So that area is just for you. And the reason I think it's there, because when we were there last time, they did not move the, during the day, the seats were still there.
Right.
Okay. It wasn't like it was an area they brought the seating out, plonked it down, boshed away. So it's a good place. You can get it. You know, you get a Fast Pass ticket for there. You know, get there early. If you've got a ticket and it says, you know, arrive 10 minutes beforehand, you want to be in the front row because it's not tiered. So right, get there early, get the front bench, Bob's your uncle, and away you go.
And this is for 1 month, isn't it, they're doing this? I'm not sure about... I get the idea of having a Fast Pass, and I don't have a problem with that. That's fine. But what I don't like is this whole random giving out idea.
Oh, I like that bit. I think
really?
I think that's what makes it special, because otherwise you're going to have everyone that knows about it getting it. And I'd rather they give it, you know, there's people watching out for the people that are a little bit frazzled and they're, you know, het up because their kids are messing around and, you know, and say, look, calm down, have a couple of Fast Passes, enjoy the parade over there, don't worry about it.
I just think it becomes a little bit elitist because they're just giving it out to people they want to rather than giving it out to people who turn up on a, you know, first come, first served basis.
Yeah, but then it's elitist for those that know about it, isn't it? There's a lot of people that still turn up ads that don't even know what Fast Passes are.
That's true, yeah.
And you're going to have all of you and your geeky mates turning up and nicking the best seats.
I suppose, because that's sort of what happened with World of Colour over Disneyland. There was a lot of people who knew what was going on and how it works, and they sort of, off they went and did all that, and people were getting a bit annoyed with it. I don't know. It's a hard one. I, I kind of wish they did it like they did every other Fast Pass. I hope, though, that when this, if this does become a permanent Fast Pass idea, which I don't have a problem with, that they do then make it a standard. You go to the machine, you get your Fast Pass, off you go, rather than it just being a random giving out tickets. That I think that would make it much, much fairer. I'll let them off for this 1 month, but if it continues like it, I'm then going to be a bit upset.
Jazz would be all for it. He'd love it because it's for the people.
It's for the people.
Yeah. It's like that lawyer advert on the telly over here, isn't it? I'm for the people.
It's a little bit like that. Right, let's head over to Epcot, where they finally finalised the Candlelight Processional narration list. We've had a lot of TBCs appearing on the list for quite some time, but now we are finally finished with the time of the 16th, the 18th of December slot fully filled, I suppose is the right word. So let's give you the final list just very quickly. So 25th to the 27th of November is going to be Mira Sorvino. November 28th to December 1st is Michael W. Smith. If you want to see Gina Davis, she'll be there 2nd and 3rd of December. 4th and 6th will be Edward James Olmos. The 7th to the 9th of December is Isabella Rossellini. The one I'd love to see this year, December 10th to the 12th, How I Met Your Mother's very own Neil Patrick Harris. 13th to the 15th of December is Lorraine Bracco. You've got Cheetah Rivera in from the 16th to the 18th. Trace Adkins from the 19th to 21st. 22nd of December to Christmas Eve is Suzanne Lucci. And then Christmas Day to the 27th, Blair Underwood. And finally, December 28th to the 30th is Marley Matlin. So that is the full list. Anyone there that takes your fancy? Anyone on that list?
Do you know what? I'm thinking the one that I miss is the one they've replaced. I would have always liked to have gone and seen it with Whoopi.
Whoopi Goldberg would have been awesome. And
they've got rid of her, haven't they? I'm having dinner with Jeff and Cheryl tonight, who are both in the Candlelight Processional again.
Again,
so
they're
doing it again. So I shall find out from them which one they're looking forward to. I mean, a lot of them are very American-centric, and I don't really know a lot of them.
But Neil Patrick Harris would be awesome.
Yeah.
It's from How I Met Your Mother, which would be cool.
I haven't met your mother, though. We are friends on Facebook.
You are. She keeps
like
commenting
on
your status and everything, all of that. It's just a bit wrong, really. Right, moving over to Animal Kingdom then. There seems to be some celebrities roaming around the park.
Oh, yeah, there is. I can click on that and know all about that. Mr. Cameron, not David. So it'd be the one who has
James Cameron,
all his friends blue.
His brother.
Mr. Staggs. He's not the one in the 10-gallon hat, is he?
No.
And Mr.
Joe Rohde, yeah.
Rohde. That's a cool way of spelling Rohde. I'd never spelt it like that. Well, anyway, the three of them, we all know who they are, right? So we're going to have Avatar Land in Animal Kingdom. Mm-hmm. I'll say no more. And Mr. Staggs, Mr. Cameron, and Mr. Rohde were seen walking around. Sorry about this. We're walking around the Animal Kingdom. Now, it's quite an interesting picture because they all look very, like it's a very relaxed affair. Is that?
Yeah.
Meg Crofton's in the background
in the background of the photo, which you'll see up on DisneyBrit.com. She's like trying to be a little bit inconspicuous, but she's kind of too well known. But it amazes me that all these people walked around the parks and yet nobody seemed to go up and go, oh, can I have autograph, blah, 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 etc. They were just...
Have you noticed on the picture, and please go over to DisneyBrit to see this, that Tom Stagg's walking along, but, you know, he's got nice slacks and jeans and a shirt on, but he's got his little Disney name badge.
Yes, he's still got his name badge on. He's a good boy. He's still wearing his name badge. I quite like that about the fact that Tom Stanks is, you know, in charge of quite a lot of stuff. But still.
Yeah, VIP. I mean, he's top of the pops, isn't he?
Yeah, but still, he's walking around with his badge on. I love that. But if you notice, Joe Rohde's also got his on as well.
Yes.
But you've got, you've got Meg Crofton right in the background there, which is quite cool. I recognise the guy over on the left as well. This is no good for podcasting, is it? Because we're talking about a photo that no one can see. But it could be John Landau.
It looks like him.
But yeah, Meg Crofton is there in the background. It's quite funny. Almost like Tom Staggs has said, stay behind. We don't want you coming. No, don't. And she's sort of like sneaking along, stealth-like in the background. It's quite funny. But yeah, they've been touring the parks, haven't they?
They have, you know. So they've been given the chance to kind of... This is what Tom's has said. He's got a chance to roll his sleeves up and explore Disney's Animal Kingdom from the inside. He says it's a phenomenal experience. James Cameron also has been walking around, and he said, as I walked through the park, I kept imagining Pandora coming to life all around me and found my mind racing with all the possibilities that we're able to create in the years ahead. Disney's Animal Kingdom is truly a remarkable place, and I can think of no better home for our Avatar experience and our brand new ride Soaring Over Pandora. registered trademark, Matt Hochberg. Yeah, I just know that's the ride they're going to put in. But, you know, I can just imagine his mind going to work, walking around there, because that's the sort of thing he is.
He has also said this is the first Disney park that it's going to be in. So
yes.
I do wonder whether this may be something that will go sort of worldwide, maybe, in the new park in Disneyland Paris. This sort of thing might appear, I don't know. It's possible that will happen, but we're a good few years off yet. We're looking 2015 for that opening, so we'll no doubt be talking about the Avatar section of Animal Kingdom for a good few years to come. Right, dining. We all enjoy going out for a good signature or character meal while we're out in Walt Disney World, but as of the 26th of October, that's the day this show is released, guests who wish to dine at both a signature or character meal will be required to put down a credit card guarantee. Now, the credit card will not be charged by Disney in the first instance, but any cancellations that will be made within one day of the reservation date will incur a $10 charge per person. So this is something new that Disney have introduced and beginning to do now. So if you ring up 407-WDW-DINE and you're booking at one of the following restaurants, they are going to ask you for a credit card guarantee, which could be charged up to $10 per person. Those places are 1900 Park Fair, Acacia Royal Banquet Hall, Artist Point, California Grill, Cape May Cafe, Chef Mickey's, Citricose, The Crystal Palace, Flying Fish Cafe, The Garden Grill, Hollywood Brown Derby, Hollywood and Vine, Gico the Cooking Place, Le Cellier Steakhouse, Narcoosie's, Ohana, Tusker House, and the Yachtsman Steakhouse, and Victorian Albert's will now become a $25 per person fee. So this is Disney sort of bringing in this guarantee. I don't know whether they're trying to stop people from booking up and not turning up and trying to free up some of the spaces, but they have also opened a new dedicated phone line now set up for people to cancel their bookings early, which is 407-WDW-CNCL, which is obviously for cancel. What do you think about this, Craig? Is this something that you welcome?
Yeah, I do, because I think, again, it makes it more accessible for everyone else. The only thing is, it means people are going to have to firm up their plans a little bit. But, you know, you could still book, if you don't know where you're going, still book two or three restaurants in different places. Just make sure that you cancel them the day before.
24 hours of the reservation.
Yeah, and you've got a dedicated phone number. It's not like you've got to go through the WDW dine number and press an option. So, you know, I think for many, many people, many of the people close to them and share the love that we share with this, this is something that we have all been asking for quite a while.
Yeah, and I completely agree.
And I think it's good. So good luck to them. Well done, Disney. You listened to me.
And plus, also, you've got to remember as well that you can book all of your reservations online now. And they can be kept online. And then you can cancel them online as well. You can make your reservation really, really easily. You can cancel your reservation really, really easily. It's almost inexcusable not to cancel a reservation these days because Disney have made it so easy to do.
It's kind of, I don't know, maybe it's the way I was brought up, but it's kind of bad manners, isn't it, to book something and not turn up. So, you know, I'd even do that in England if there wasn't. In fact, I'd even do it over here. I'd do it over here if there's not, not a charge for it. I would phone up, so sorry, I don't want it. So, yeah, the only thing I think, you know, those that really do like to plan ahead, you know, the 180 days or whatever, they're going to kind of find it maybe a little bit obstructive. But, you know, you can get your money back. You've just got to, you know, remember to cancel what you booked. But I'm sure you will have, because you'd have it on a spreadsheet like Adam.
Oh, I'll have it on a spreadsheet, definitely. But yeah, there's no reason why you shouldn't be cancelling those reservations if you don't need them, you know. And hopefully this will begin to make people think twice, and it will mean that rush of 180 days or whatever you're going to be able to book at isn't going to be as bad anymore, because you're going to be able to do it really, really easily. So that would be really good if that happens. Right, we're moving over to the resorts because Disney finally have got rid of those nasty Ethernet cables and are now offering guests something slightly different to connect to the internet.
Yeah, they're all giving you free iPads.
Yes, built into the wall.
No, you know, we know what it's like when you've got these Ethernet cables, they're never long enough. And when I used to do a bit of travelling for work, which I don't do anymore, I used to take my own kind of 3 meter one with me, because they were never long enough in any of the hotels, not just Disney, in all of the hotels. Well, now Disney said cable, who wants a cable? It's all going to be done Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
now they're going to put it in the guest rooms. Now, you know, it is that age. I've walked around the parks before and seen Wi-Fi hotspots appear on my phone, all locked ones. I've tried passwords Mickey, Donald, Minnie, none of them seem to work. But, you know, it is, everyone wants to stay connected. You know, people You know, I'm slightly worried about how I'm going to be connected when I'm on the boat, and that's just the modern age, isn't it? People want to have access to internet wherever they are.
Right, because you can connect to the American Maritime Internet. Cost you a small fortune, but you can connect to it.
Won't cost me a penny, pal. But yeah, no, I know what you mean. No, well, that's one of the... I mean, I'm not going to do that because it does cost so much. But, you know, from the 14th of October, in certain hotels, you will now have Wi-Fi. Now, I'll give you the hotels. If you're thinking, oh, I'd like to stay there, I'd like to stay in the Animal Kingdom Lodge because they have it. I'd stay in the Beach Club because they've now got it. The Boardwalk Resort has it. The Contemporary has it. Coronado Springs has it. The Grand Floridian Resort and Spa has it. Old Keyed West. The Polynesian Saratoga Springs Resort and Spa. The Wilderness Lodge Resort and the Yacht Club.
There we go.
Now, guess how much it's going to be?
Free.
Exactly. Woo.
Now, one little warning for you. I've had several reports from people who have stayed in the resort since it's come out, to say that some of the Wi-Fi they've used is a bit rubbish. It's not particularly quick. Now, I don't know whether this is teething problems. I would guess it's teething problems. I guess it's the excitement of there being Wi-Fi for free. You know, people are just overusing or whatever. But the couple of reports I've had recently are that the Wi-Fi isn't particularly quick. So if you are thinking about booking these hotels just because there's free Wi-Fi, don't go and, you know, get yourself out of pocket for the fact that the internet is going to be particularly slow. So do take that into consideration. But it is great to see that Disney are starting to think about free Wi-Fi, and they're beginning to sort of give people something for nothing. Because I think, I can't remember how much it used to be for connected internet in the rooms.
No, nor do I.
It was about $9 or $10 for the day when I was at All Stars, if I remember rightly.
It's a lot. Ethernet, it's a lot of money, and you know they can build. Yeah. They build it into the cost of the room, can't they?
Yeah,
so,
which is what they're probably going to do now with regards to the free Wi-Fi. So there we go, free Wi-Fi for you if you want it. Right, it's a bit of a public service announcement. Last year we mentioned about the benefit sale that happened at Downtown Disney to support the Heart of Florida United Way project, and that once again is going to be happening this year on November the 5th. It's going to be happening at Downtown Disney. It's basically going to give you a discount of 25% off select merchandise at participating Downtown Disney locations. There's also going to be special doorbusters and loads more. Now, if you're thinking about going to this, you want to know how you're going to be able to get in. Well, to start off with, this event starts at 5:30 a.m. Okay, 5:30 a.m. It finishes at 9:30 a.m. You will need to buy a voucher. They're sold for $5 by the Heart of Florida United Way. Once you've bought your voucher, that then gives you entry into the actual event itself. It means you can then go along and buy as much as you want to at 25% off. Just to give you a list of the stores that are opening, you've got the Disney Store, Trendy, Team Mickey, Once Upon a Toy, Disney's Days of Christmas, and a few others as well. At this moment of recording, there are still vouchers left. So make sure you go and get hold of one of them. If you fancy going to that, getting 25% off, earning yourself a small fortune.
Do they give you a free wake-up call?
Yeah, 5:30 a.m. You'd hope so, wouldn't you? That is an early, early start. And I wouldn't expect there to be any Disney transport maybe on as well. So just to let you know about that. That's the 5th of November at Downtown Disney. Right, let's jump on a plane, fly our way over to Disneyland Paris, where it's not as cold as it was last year, but there's a couple of events we want to share with you. First one is happening in December, I think, Craig.
Yes, it is. I was looking at the menu for Manny's where I'm going for dinner tonight, thinking, come on now. Right, so Disneyland Paris, December pin trading event. Am I right? Make sure I'm on the right bit. Yes, Adam?
Yeah, you are right.
Okay, and it's in French. So I will read the English version. I know, I'll read the English version. Okay. Well, I can read the French version if people want.
Feel free, do that.
Okay, le 17th de décembre, 20. What's 11 in French, Alex? Quickly. Oz. There we go. De 11h00. Okay, the English version. On December the 17th, 2011, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Disney Hotel New York Convention Center. There is going to be a pin trading event. Price per person is...
Lots.
It's lots.
Euros?
36 euros. But brunch is included, which is neither breakfast nor lunch. So does that mean you get nothing?
Yeah. Basically, get whatever's left over from breakfast that they didn't sell, and you get a little bit of the early stuff made for lunch.
Yeah, exactly. So reservations are from October 27th, which I believe is day after show comes out.
Indeed.
To telephone them internationally, unless you live in France and are listening to the show, then I apologise for all my rude comments about the French, but you are rude and smell. The number is 331-60-30-60-53. You can either rewind it, or I can say it again.
Yeah, say it again.
331-60-30-60-53. Now, if I was mean, I could have given out the wrong number to somebody in Paris, and everyone, you know, 5,000 people that listen to this could be ringing somebody up in Paris saying, I'd like to go pin trading, please,
you're
mate.
You sounded like the man off the National Lottery giving out the winning numbers, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. 4, 7, 12.
They are
50.
Very, very popular, these trading events, and a lot of people go. I can think of a couple of people who came to Mouse Meet, certainly this year, who basically. Go out for every pin event. They just drive down and stay in a camper van on the car park and enjoy the event and then come back again, which is pretty cool.
But it's accessible, isn't it? Because that's, you know, why it's in France. So good luck to them.
Yeah, exactly. Right, so one more event to tell you about, which is the Terrorific Night. If you are thinking about going, it's this weekend, the 29th and 30th of October. If you haven't already got your ticket, unfortunately, they are all sold out for both nights of the event, which is amazing, because I don't think they sold out of the one night last year, whereas it became popular enough to sell out both nights this year. Unfortunately, as I've said, it's completely gone, but do not panic, because we will be there on the 29th of October taking plenty of photo, video, audio, all that sort of stuff to share with you when we come back. There are still tickets available for the 28th of October Not-So-Scary Halloween Party at Disneyland Paris, and also the Halloween Party happening on the 31st of October. You can get tickets from Disney for that. But to give you a little bit more information of what's going to be happening at this Terrorific Night, we contacted Disney. And they sort of gave us some information about what is going on with this particular event. Last year was awesome. It was on a slightly smaller scale, but it's getting a little bit bigger this time. And what they're going to be looking at is, first of all, they're going to create 4 different terror zones. These are going to be filled with special characters all evening long, and there's going to be 3 street happenings in different areas of the park. Some of the attractions will receive a few modifications, including sound, light, some special effects, and special appearances. This did happen last year, but we're expecting it to be on a bigger scale this year. The whole park's atmosphere is going to change. There'll be new music, special lightings, and more than 40 fog machines. 40 fog machines and a lot of fog they're going to be pumping out during the night. They had an area called Welcome to Whitechapel last year that was full of smoke. It was pretty cool, but it seems that the rest of the park is going to be covered in smoke as well. Also, a new addition this year, it seems that some of the Disney villains are going to be appearing in Toon Studios as well, which would be cool. Last year, there wasn't really any Disney characters around at all. It was just zombies and people with chainsaws and straight-jacketed men chasing after people. Whereas this year, they're trying to, by the looks of it, bring a bit of a Disney element into it and having these Disney villains over in Toon Studios, which will be cool as well. So that's going to be the Terrific Night. If you are going and you see me, I'll be there probably in my Disney Brit hoodie. Say hello. And we're going to be having a good time over there this weekend, I hope. Right, that is all of the news and rumours. So let's get on with the rest of the show.
Excuse me.
Oh, woo! There we go.
A heffalumparoozle is very confusal. A heffalumparoozle's very sly. They come in ones and twosles, but if they so choosles, before your eyes you'll see them multiply.
Big elephants on parade, here they come. It's Halloween again, and those of you who follow the Halloween tradition will know that Monday the 31st is just around the corner. But, of course, in the world of Disney, Halloween just doesn't exist on one day. It exists for months, especially in Walt Disney World. And in Disneyland Paris, exactly the same thing happens with several different parties. What is the Halloween party on the 31st, but also the Terrorific Night adult-style party at Walt Disney Studios. And throughout October, starting on the 7th this year, Disney had the Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party, and we weren't lucky enough to go, but Lindsay and Nick Branch were. So welcome to the show.
Hello.
Now, you guys went out, was it the last weekend?
Yes, last weekend, on Friday.
It was a second wedding anniversary trip, wasn't it?
Yes.
Congratulations for that.
Thank you.
It's 2 years together, so that's all good. After a year, you know you can cope with each other, so it's all fine. So you went out to Disneyland Paris. Did you go specifically, did you choose this sort of, to go to Disneyland Paris because it was Halloween, or was it, you know, it was the second anniversary and it all just fits together quite nicely?
Yeah, it kind of tied in with both, really. I mean, we'd planned to go for our anniversary, but seeing that the Halloween events were on at the same time, mm-hmm. It just made more sense to kill two birds with one stone, so to speak.
Yeah, definitely. As you get the party there, you might as well go and give it a go and see what it's like. Now, those people who listen to the podcast will know that Disneyland Paris is notoriously terrible for revealing any information about anything, whether it be an event, whether it be the opening of a new attraction or a new land. Did you know much about the event before you went and before you bought your tickets?
Not really, just what we had sort of read over the internet, really. Just we knew that the park was going to be like decorated as Halloween, and but we also read that it wasn't going to be as decorated as much as it was before. So I was a bit disappointed with that. But no, we didn't really know what to expect. We knew it was going to be mainly the fillings, and the fillings were going to be a big part of it. But other than that, we didn't really know what to expect.
So tickets were, what, £23, something like that each? Is that right?
Yeah, it was about that. I mean, I'm a shareholder, yeah, for Euro Disney like yourself. So it worked out a little bit less than that. Although I did get slightly ripped off because they told us when we phoned up we could have one ticket per shareholder at discount. And then I got an email about a week later saying I can have up to five.
So did you ring them back about that and complain, or did you just...
To be honest, because it was only a few days before we went, I didn't get a chance to, but
late,
it's
yeah.
It will be something I'll be addressing in the future.
Oh, totally, yeah. No doubt. So you went to this Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party. Describe the beginning of the evening for me. So the park is closed to general public.
Yeah.
And it opens, so the party starts at 7 o'clock-ish?
It starts at 7, so basically the park shuts at 7 and then you're allowed back in, but they don't shut it and make you leave. If you're already in the park, yeah, from 5 o'clock you can go in and you can get a wristband,
right?
But then from 7 o'clock, wherever you go, they're asking to see your wristband. So before you go into Fantasyland, before you go into Adventureland, they're asking to see the wristband. And before rides, if you haven't got the wristband on, then you know they're chucking you out. So if, because obviously some people probably wouldn't leave and just, yeah, think, well, we'll try and get away with it, but they won't let you in unless you've got the wristband on to any of the land. So that was the only good organisation, I'd say. Like, we loads and loads of times we got asked to see the wristband, because I did just think, well, you know, we could have not bought the tickets, just knew we had to stay in Adventureland and Frontierland and would have been okay. But no, they were asking a lot to see them.
It wasn't all the rides that were open, was it? It was Fantasyland and Adventureland, were they the two?
Yeah.
Big Thunder, I think, in Frontierland, is that right?
Yeah, it was Fantasyland minus, obviously, the maze.
Yeah.
Although, you know, technically they could have done something scary with the maze, but that's another thing. And Frontierland, you had Big Thunder Mountain and Phantom Manor.
Right.
And in Adventureland, it was just Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay. So it was just sort of a few attractions dotted about.
Mm.
Now, when you arrived, did they give you a map or anything like that to give you any idea of what the sort of things that were going to be going on during the evening?
Yeah, you don't get a map just specifically for the Halloween event. Like, you get a planner, so it tells you what's on where, okay, at what time, and where the actual character meets are. But other than that, there wasn't much else said about it, really.
Now, I went to the Terrorific Night last year. I'm going again this year. One of the things I found was that the park map was entirely in French. There was nothing English-related at all because they were obviously aiming towards a very local market. Did you find that the not-so-scary Halloween parties were geared more towards the European-French market, or was there much more of an English string to it as well?
To be honest, there was so little information in the actual pamphlet you got,
yeah,
that although it was in English and French, it could have all been in French and you could, yeah, have realised exactly what,
right,
was going on, because there was so little information. I mean, to be fair, they didn't need to say a lot of what was going,
yeah,
on, because
the picture showed it, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so for that reason, I'd say it was probably more user-friendly than what you've experienced before, but only because there was so little they had to kind of allow you to know.
Right, okay. So it was very basic sort of planner.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
All the information. So I know we have, like, they have a villain show during the day. We've now got the trick-or-treat show that happens on the castle stage as well. And it's like Jack Skellington and all those elements are there just for the general, you know, Joe Public goes during the day. So what extra elements were added to the Not So Scary Party?
Well, we actually didn't see Jack Skellington there during the day. We actually only saw him there on that evening. Right. I mean, to be honest, we was expecting, because we have been to the American one, and I never, ever compare America to the Paris, because I think they're completely different, so I try not to, but the show was appalling.
Okay.
I've never seen it. I thought, well, I did think, oh, you paid the extra bit of money, so, you know, you were going to get a good show. It was just nothing. It was basically like the Magical Celebration one they've been doing for a few years now, where they get all the heroes out. Yeah. It was basically that, but changed to villains.
Okay.
It was a rehashed show. Yeah, but we saw another one, like the actual Maleficent one they do during the day for everyone. I actually thought that was better than the one we saw and we paid to see in the evening. But the little shows they were doing around, like you had the Minnie Mouse did one, and Huey, Dewey and Louie did one. They were really good. But the main one where you think, you know, you've stayed there all this time to actually get to see it, and it was quite a big letdown. But the main thing that we really enjoyed was the characters, all the different villains we got to see. Like, the way Jack Skellington and Sally was with Nick was just amazing, the way they were. It was fantastic, wasn't it, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, I think actually you're doing the show more of a service than it needed to, because it is by far the worst Disney performance. It was so, so bad. And I mean, I've been to Paris, I think this might have been my 10th time, since I went in 92 and have gone since then. And obviously Walt Disney World a few times, and it's by far the worst show I've ever seen. It was so, so dull, and that was it. It wasn't even entertaining, and it was nearly all in French.
Right.
So actually, going back to what you were saying earlier, there was very little English in the show. Doesn't help at all. No, but yeah, going to what Lindsay was saying about the characters. The way it was organised was better than during the day, and I think that's probably down to the number of people there. I mean, it wasn't very busy at all.
So,
I'd say probably a couple of hundred.
Yeah,
oh, wow, really that quiet.
Yeah, I mean, the location, they had three shows on before the main show, three separate shows around the park, and they were really badly organised in the locations they had them. Meant that unless you was at the front or very tall, you couldn't see anything. So they were pretty much a bit of a letdown. I think a lot of people did leave before the last show, because we were staying at the Elise Hotel, and the last shuttle bus left at 11 o'clock.
Right, oh, okay. So that's
after that, it was tubes or cabs or anything like that. So I think that may have had a bit of impact on people not staying quite near or on Disney property. The characters, because there was less people, it was more organised. Jack and Sally, for whatever reason, I think it was because they're both English, decided to speak to us for about 5 minutes, even though
ignoring everyone else.
Yeah, pretty much just going no, and just chatting away. And it was in character, but it was very good. And I wanted to meet them. It was great that they did that.
It's things like that almost make it value for money. The whole point of it is, yes, you get the shows and you get the extra time, and you get to see all of those characters, and those characters actually spend time with you.
In Frontierlands, sorry to interrupt, you got the villains, didn't you? Didn't get normally, so you had Hades.
He was amazing.
Maleficent. I can't remember the bad guy from Mulan, what his name was.
From Mulan, yeah. I can't remember his name. It was incredible, yeah.
Angus Khan.
No, it's the Huns of the people earlier. You've got me now. I'm gonna have to find
it. Huge, and they had it like they had water spraying out of the entrance, so it looked like almost like a fog.
Okay.
And he was swinging about there, so when people were going in and out of Frontierland, they'd normally just walk into him, and he was huge. He was really big, so that was probably the only time people
General
got.
Lee. No, General Lee's a good guy, isn't he?
Yeah, I think you could be right.
He's a good guy. I can't remember. I'm not going to lose any favourites.
I think it was more the fact that because you got those kind of villains, all those characters you didn't get during the day or normally throughout the rest of the year, that part of it did make it, as you say, a lot more worthwhile value for money wise than, let's say, like the shows and things like that. Also, just in case we forget, the only sweets they gave out were Turbo
Crocodiles.
Okay.
And that was all your sweet intake.
How many sweets did you get? Did you get a good amount?
I did get a lot because I bought the Mickey Mouse trick or treat like lantern holder.
Right.
And I seemed to like whenever they saw that, they go mad for it. They just like chuck loads of sweets in, and children that haven't got any, they're brushing them aside and just chucking them in my box when I'm like 28 years old, and they're just filling up with me with sweets, and I'm leaving the children because they've got nothing that I've spent money on the actual lanterns, but they're going to chuck the sweets in my box. But yeah,
that's interesting because you spent the extra money on the lantern, they decided to fill yours, but not necessarily.
Yeah, yeah, basically, and yeah. As soon as they saw it, they're like lit up with chuck loads of sweets in it.
Shamu, that's the name of the bad guy.
Shamu.
Okay, we're with it now. There was no parade then, no fireworks?
No, I was really disappointed about that. The fireworks show in Walt Disney World that we saw last year was it was the best fireworks show I've ever seen. Fantastic. And I was really disappointed that they didn't do one. I was expecting there to be one, and when I found out it wasn't, I was like, oh, but you know, the show will be good. And then it wasn't.
So for you, what were sort of the highlights of the actual event itself?
Characters, really. And also, me and Nick didn't actually get to the park after sorting out our tickets and luggage. We didn't get there till about 4 o'clock.
Right.
And we didn't actually ride anything till 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Now, by the time we'd finished there, we'd ridden about 10 rides. We just literally walked on everything. We've been on Pirates of the Caribbean, Peter Pan. You can never walk on to Peter Pan. But that was one good thing, is that because then on the Saturday, lots of it was hectic because people would have come because of it being half term.
Yeah.
And, you know, you couldn't get on, you know, the queues were so long and the fast passes were running out. So we was lucky that we did most of the rides that night because we didn't have to queue for anything. So in one way, that was good because I got to do, like, the Haunted Mansion and Pirates of the Caribbean, which are my two favourites and must-dos. So that was good. But, yeah, seeing all those different characters, that was my highlight. They were really, really good.
So I suppose in a way it was like using the ticket for the event as like the old e-ticket nights used to get the Magic
Kingdom,
and being able to just ride those attractions without those queues, just pay extra. What were the sort of lowest points for you then for the particular event?
Parades and fireworks.
Yeah.
From the lack of parades and fireworks.
Yeah.
I've never been to Disneyland Paris without a fireworks show.
Yeah.
And the fact that they didn't have one that evening when you'd expect them to because it was like open so late, but I mean, they're not having any fireworks, it appears, at the moment at all. There was nothing on the weekend we was there or anything coming up this week either.
Fireworks are pretty much the summer and New Year, and that's pretty much all you'll get. You'll get them for Bonfire Night over Lake Disney, but it is Disneyland Paris are very much thin on the ground. Although the 20th anniversary, hopefully we're going to get a little bit
more.
See what happens. So would you pay it again? Would you go again? Is it worth the money?
I would say for characters and for how quickly you get on rides, yes, depending on what time of year you're...
Yeah.
You know, because of that, you know, it was half-term week, then yes. But if I'd gone the week before, probably not.
I think it's easier for us because we are the children, as opposed to having children.
Yeah.
You know, it's easier for us to justify spending €40 extra to go to one of these kind of events and just seeing what happens. If you're taking a family of four and you're looking at maybe, you know, I don't know, €80, something like that, then, you know, you'd have to think a lot more. And I think just the lack of theming, the lack of a lot of organisation about what you could do, I would contemplate it if I was there when it was on again. But I wouldn't necessarily plan my dates to go. I mean, we didn't this time, to be fair. It just fell in. Yeah, that's it, exactly. And then I'd have to weigh up whether I thought it was going to be worth the money.
We didn't know if the show was going to be on or not when we booked the dates. Because we knew it was going for our anniversary. And then all of a sudden I heard on Disney Brit Podcast that these are the dates. And then I just didn't leave Nikolai. I was like, we have to go. We're there last year. We've got to go this year. I want to go. And then he's like, all right, they're not going to sell out. I'm like, what if they do sell out? And then we got our tickets. And then I think as well, I'd hyped myself up too much. So perhaps if I hadn't, I've got overexcited.
Yeah.
It might have not been so bad.
And also,
but
you've been to the one in America, which is obviously a different ballgame altogether.
You, I mean, thinking you can't compare them.
Yeah,
I mean,
truly
always try not to. But unfortunately, when there's so many things missing that you get at the American event, it's hard. So you don't mind a few things. You don't expect it to be up to the same standard. It's a bigger park.
Yeah.
They've been doing it for a long time. Halloween's a huge event in America. You do expect them to go the extra mile. But you do wonder if it is worth the effort they're putting in or not putting in.
Do you find that maybe then it's a mistake giving it exactly the same name as it is in Florida?
Yeah. And they don't even seem to... It's not even anything like in America. So yeah, perhaps if it had a different name, then I wouldn't. If it was a different name, I wouldn't have been expecting the same as what I got in America. Maybe, yeah, definitely.
Mickey's pretty poor Halloween party doesn't have the same.
No,
scarily overpriced Halloween party.
Because the decor, like the park. I love the Mickey Mouse pumpkins. They're everywhere in Florida and on the posts and everything. And I love them. I think they're great. There was just a few pumpkins. There was a few scattered Mickey Mouse ones by some shops. And then other than that, you saw some pumpkins on the grass. You had the big pumpkin by the castle, which was where they did another show, but during the day for just normal, like for people that hadn't bought the tickets. But other than that, the park wasn't decorated for Halloween whatsoever, really, apart from just some pumpkins scattered everywhere, which I thought was quite poor. Because apparently, like, I thought they were going to do Frontierland up in all orange, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get to see this, and then I got there, and it wasn't there.
The final thing before I let you go, you were talking about you are the kids, you don't have any children. Now, is this an event that you would be able to take your kids to, and they would benefit from the fact that they've got all those characters and all those elements there?
I think in that respect, to be fair, kids would love it, especially if they... I think adults, maybe more than children, have a thing for the villains.
Yeah.
Because they're not so scary when you get a bit older. You can see the comical appeal most of them have and everything like that. So in that respect, I think they would do, because it gives you a chance to see these characters and get these autographs you wouldn't normally be able to. Certainly, 10, 15 years down the line, if we was in that situation, I'm sure that, even if it was only once, I'd want to take my kids there just for that reason.
So you've got kids, then it's definitely worth doing.
Yeah, I mean, Shenzi, he frightened the life out of this one child, and I thought it was hilarious, and the mother and father looked at me, he's like, horrified, why are you laughing at my child getting so scared? And I was like, well, that's what he's there to do, he's there to...
It didn't say it wasn't at all scary.
I think to wrap it up, though, really, the problem with this compared to a lot of things you get in America is when you go to Disneyland Paris, it does feel a bit like Diet Disney.
Yeah.
It feels like it's a bit watered down.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there's been more and more things over the years. Disneyland Paris have kind of, they've cut down on this. They've not been looking after stuff. You know, there's so many maintenance issues when you look around the parks. And it's just another one of those things. It just feels like they've half-heartedly tried to do something that's worked in other parks. And it's not working.
And that's interesting point that you bring that up, because we then look at Terrorific Night that happens at the studios, which is a completely different ball game. It doesn't happen in any other Disney park, and yet that's an excellent event. So it's very interesting that you say that it's sort of that Diet Disney version there, when you've got the other event that works in a very, very
different view on it at Halloween.
I think because you're and it's aiming for a different market. I mean, I've been to the Halloween Horror Nights, which I'm guessing that's more like.
Yeah, I don't. It's not quite as intense as Halloween Horror Nights, but it's the same.
We could actually do that
idea,
one. It's, unfortunately, I'm sorry to bring this up, because she might hit me after we get off the phone. But after we went to Halloween Horror Nights, or when we was there last year, she did cry most of the time we was there.
For it being so scary. Surprised. I mean, look at some of it. It does look quite terrifying, and terrifying night, especially in comparison to the most scary and the Halloween party on the 31st. Well, thank you very much for coming
on. There
is one more of these parties, the 28th. So if you are going around, you can go to that. There's the Halloween party, of course, on the 31st as well. That's the Monday. And if you're thinking about going to the Terrorific Night, tough. It's completely completely sold out, but we will have all the information over on Disney Brit because we're going to go and see that. Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you, Nick, for coming on.
Thank you.
And enjoy the rest of your anniversary.
Thank
Lovely.
You.
Thank you. Bye.
Why, we've only begun to heat things up. Let's show them just how spirited an All Hallows Eve celebration can really be!
Our guest on the show really should, it should just be part of the team these days, because they've been on this show so often, what with one thing or another, that we've invited them to come back once more to give us their take on Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party over at the Magic Kingdom in Walt Disney World. So we welcome once again the one and only British member of the Disney Moms panel. Hello, Emma Nicholson.
Hello, Adam.
You're back again. It's like we always call upon you.
I know, you see. I'd love to be part of your team.
Yeah, see, is this your, like, your audition?
My ploy.
Is that what this is? I see. Right, okay. We've got no judge this week, so, you know, we've got a space for someone with a slightly feminine voice.
You know.
He won't know. He doesn't listen to the show, so he won't know I've said that. But the reason we brought you on is because this year you went out to the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, is that right?
We did, yeah.
And this has been going on for a few years, for a good few years. And Craig went last year and he spoke about a little bit about it. But we want to sort of hear your opinions on it and what the event entails. So can you give us sort of a brief overview of what the Not So Scary Halloween Party is all about?
Yeah, well, obviously, it's a special event which requires separate admission to the Magic Kingdom. And basically, it includes a special Halloween parade. That's right, yeah. Happy Hallow Wishes Halloween spin-on Wishes fireworks display. They have some character dance parties that take place throughout the park. My son's favourite trick-or-treating around the park. And there's lots of Disney characters about for meets and greets as well.
So it's definitely a family-centred event.
It is very family-friendly.
Now, obviously, there's a lot of offerings that are going on here that don't normally happen during the day. But one of the things that people will enjoy with these Halloween events, certainly the quieter Halloween events, is the fact that there are attractions still open during the actual event. So is most of the park still available to go and ride attractions and things like that during this?
Yeah. Most of the attractions are still open.
I think
there's
a couple. You've got Adventureland Pirates and I think Aladdin. You've got most stuff open in places like Tomorrowland and Fantasyland. Haunted Mansion is still open in Liberty Square. I suppose it's those attractions that require the daylight for them to operate, things like the riverboat that aren't going to be open.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
But everything else pretty much is open. You've got things like, I think, Monsters, Inc. Last show's around 10 p.m.-ish. Pecos Bill is also open until sort of 11-ish. So there's plenty of opportunity for those attractions again if you don't get to go another time. I'm really interested in is the entertainment side of it all. Now, you've talked about the Mickey's Boo to You Parade. Can you fill us in a little bit as to what exactly this parade is and how it's different to what you would expect from the normal everyday Disney parade?
Yeah, well, obviously it's Halloween themed, but the start of it is spectacular because it's led by the Headless Horseman. So that's always a good start to the event.
And he's actually headless riding this horse, isn't he?
He is actually headless, yeah. He makes his way right from Frontierland. The parade starts at Frontierland. Down Main Street, USA, and it really is something to see. So he paves the way for the parade. Mm-hmm. And there are an awful lot of floats on this parade. All of the characters are dressed in the Halloween outfits, and it is really, really good, I've got to say.
So is there any special sort of parade floats that you don't get in the normal parade? Do they reuse some from the show, or are they all new?
I think some of them are reused but dressed for the Halloween decorations, but there are some that you don't see every day. Like there is one that's themed on the Haunted Mansion.
Which they have the shovel men, don't they?
That's right, and they come out before the float itself, and that's really good. And there are a few others as well.
The parade happens twice, isn't it, in an evening? Isn't
it happens twice,
an
yeah.
An 8.15 and then a later 10.30. And is this a must-do, you know, if people are going to
must,
to see the parade? Okay,
that's
cool. Oh, so you've got the parade element, which is great, but you've also got Happy Hallowishes, which is the Halloween version of your normal Wishes show. Now, they said, people reckon that the Pirates and Princess fireworks from the Pirates and Princess party nights were the best special event fireworks ever. But they sort of stopped, and we saw that during the Summer Night Tastic in 2010. Would you say now, do you think Hallowishes is the best fireworks show for any special event?
In my opinion, it is. Out of the ones I've seen, it's definitely the best one.
Now, they still call it Hallowishes to link it to Wishes, but is it anything like Wishes at all?
It's done in the same way, in that you sort of have somebody telling the story like Jiminy does normal Wishes. And, like I say, it's done in a similar way, but obviously with a Halloween twist.
Right. So it's got a lot. I think Jack Skeleton appears in it, doesn't he?
And that's right, yeah.
The Night Before Christmas music and a lot more of the villains, that sort of stuff. And
yeah.
That happens at 9.30 every evening.
It does.
Is it a fireworks show that you have to watch from Main Street, or can you watch it from some of the other areas in the park?
You can watch it from the other areas, but I think the best view is from Main Street or the Castle Hub area.
Okay. So standing sort of halfway up Main Street maybe is a good... Do they have the perimeter fireworks, or is it just the ones right in front of them?
No, they have the perimeter fireworks as well. And
right, so you can step well back.
Yeah, on our last night of our trip, we did the Pirates and Pals voyage, and we saw the Hallowishes fireworks from the boat. And
did you take video?
We did.
Oh, awesome.
But the perimeter fireworks... from that view, were spectacular, really good.
They would be, yeah, they would be amazing. So we talked about the parade, we talked about the fireworks. There's also these dance parties. Can you explain a little bit more about what these entail?
Yeah, they have one that's done in Tomorrowland.
Yeah, at the Rocket Tower Plaza stage.
That's right, where you find Stitch, Goofy, Chip and Dale, and I think Pluto was there as well. And the other one is done in Frontierland at the Diamond Horseshoe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's with Woody, Jesse and Bullseye.
Right.
And basically you've got a bit of a DJ with his music, and all the characters are just dancing, and children and the guests can just sort of mix in with them and have a dance with them.
Is there certain times that this happens, or is it an all-night sort of party?
It's on all night.
Right, okay.
I think the characters change, you know, throughout the night.
Yeah, I would expect that probably would happen. What sort of music do they play? Is it Disney, or is it chart music, or is it a bit of both?
It's more chart music, I would say. I can't remember ever hearing any Disney music when I've been to either of them.
That's cool. That's quite different, which is quite nice.
Yeah, it's good.
And would you say this is suitable for younger children, or is it something that everyone can get involved in?
Oh, it's something that everyone could get involved in.
You were dancing, weren't you?
Of course I was. How excited was I to see Bullseye?
There's that, and it's also quite exciting to see them actually using the Rocket Tower Plaza stage in the middle of Tomorrowland, because that never happens.
No. Well, we actually went to that one in 2009.
Right.
And Ben was 6, I think, then, and he absolutely loved that.
Yeah, definitely with Stitch out there as well, which is cool, but it's nice to see them using that stage. Obviously, the sun's not out, so it's much, much easier for people to
stand there
and dance. One final sort of show element, which is this Villains Dance Mix and Mingle. Can you explain a little bit more about what this show is?
It's just a little bit of... It doesn't last very long, to be honest.
Okay.
It's on sort of in the castle area.
Right.
And it's just a little show in normal Disney way, where you have the villains come out, and afterwards actually the villains all sort of congregate there, so you can go and meet and greet with them all as well. You
get autographs and all those things.
That's right, yeah.
Is it worth watching?
To be honest with you, we didn't actually watch it this time.
Right.
We did in 2009, but the villains aren't particularly something that interests me, so it's the sort of thing, when we went this year, it was very busy. We went on a Friday night, mm-hmm. and it was very, very busy compared to the last time we'd been. So I think last time we managed to do almost everything, whereas this time we really had to pick out the bits that we wanted to do.
And I'm right thinking Fastpass isn't available during the party?
No.
They're finished. Right, okay. I know that we spoke to a couple of people who went to the party in Disneyland Paris, and they said that basically the the show that was on is the worst thing they've ever seen Disney do. So I'm sort of interested to see.
I'm not sure I'd go quite that far, but like I say, it's something that I'm not particularly.
Yeah, well, this is the Disneyland Paris version, which is apparently very different to the one that you.
Yeah.
So, but that happens 7:45, 8:50, 10:05, and 11:15 for that. As
yes,
well.
It does. Yeah.
Now the two big things, the two big draws that would certainly be for me would be the trick or treating and the Disney character appearances, because a lot of these special events that you get. You often get characters that you don't see during a regular park hours. And is this the same for Not So Scary?
It is the same, and I have to agree with you, that is one of my favourite things.
So what sort of characters sort of surprised you that you saw this time?
Well, I was very excited to find Gaston, because I love Beauty and the Beast, so that was a good one. We had Lotso in the Magic Kingdom, Duffy Bear.
Duffy's there. In the Magic Kingdom?
Yes, in the Magic Kingdom. All the princesses are with the princes, which you don't really find in the day anywhere, particularly ever-popular Rapunzel with Flynn Rider.
Yeah.
There was Jane and Tarzan with Turk.
Oh, okay.
Which I've never personally seen them before. And my favourite, of course, the Seven Dwarfs all together.
And you get to meet them all in one go?
You don't get to get their autographs, it's just photographs only, but yet they're all together in one photograph.
And that's over Frontierland, isn't it, I think? Down
it
by,
is, it's by the Splash Mountain exit.
Right, okay. And there's also some of the... Well, we'll come on to the trick-or-treat stuff in a second, which is there.
Yeah, the queues are quite long, for a lot of these characters. Or certainly we found when we went, the queues were rather long. I think it was about 50 minutes for the Seven Dwarfs.
Wow.
So you've only got to do a couple of those, and it's taken up quite a lot of the time of the event. So, like
for
I say,
a lot of people, that's part of the reason they do it. They go out there to see these characters that they
that's right
get to see, which is good. Now, the other thing that would really get me is this trick or treating. Do you want to explain a little bit about what this trick or treating is?
Yeah, as you enter the Magic Kingdom, everybody is given a trick or treat bag,
right?
And then on the map to the actual event, there's various locations around the Magic Kingdom where people are giving out candy for trick-or-treats. So you basically can make your way around and you just follow these routes, and there's people just dishing it out into your bag as you go along, and by the end of the night, your bag is normally full.
we're not talking about, like, they give you a small scoop here and a small scoop there. They are literally just throwing...
Handfuls, yeah.
Right, okay.
And in the parade itself, they hand some out as well.
Oh, okay. So there's just sweets everywhere in that case.
There is.
Were there bathtubs outside the front of Magic Kingdom full of sweets again this year?
Not that I saw.
No, okay, because I know they did that last year. Craig was telling us about the rucksack he took and how he managed to fill a rucksack up with sweets from the bathtub.
No, that is impressive.
Yeah, well, you know, I suppose in a way you could just keep emptying your carrier bag into a large rucksack and just keep carrying
on. Well, you could.
Yeah.
And I noticed a lot of people were using their own bags or containers rather than the ones that were provided, and nobody seemed to be bothered about it.
So I know certainly this year, and I think it was last year as well, what Disney were doing was they had to give out all of the candy for that particular party, and they allocated it for each party, so it all had to go basically. Obviously they're just handing it out left, right and centre.
That's right.
And what sort of stuff are you getting in there?
There's a whole variety of things, to be honest. There were some new ones this year. There seemed to be a lot of Werther's-type sweets.
Well, it does seem that I think Werther's are one of the sponsors for this year, so that would make sense.
Yeah, and to be honest, I can't think off the top of my head of any particular brand, but various types of, like, chocolate and all different sorts of sweets, really.
Are we talking about, were there any Tootsie Rolls in there this year?
Yes, there were some Tootsie Rolls.
Yeah, Tootsie Rolls, always a winner.
They're Ben's favourite since he got some at Mouse Meats.
You see? And I found a shop near me that sells Tootsie Rolls, and it's... I know, how bad is that? So we've got the trick-or-treat, and we talked about the booty, we talked about all those elements as well. You know, for you, is that obviously the cost of this is not, it's not particularly cheap. It's also not, we're not talking scarily expensive with regards to how much it could be to go to some of the events. Is this money well spent for you?
I think it is, in my opinion. This year, I would definitely say if you're going to do it, don't do it on a weekend.
Okay.
Because the difference between doing it on a weeknight and doing it at the weekend really is quite big. The year we did it in the week, we virtually did all the characters, saw the parade, saw the fireworks, did some of the dance parties, and this year we were struggling, to be honest, to fit it all in.
So is it something you think you could do more than once?
Well, we've done it twice now, and I have to say, if we went again whilst it was on, I think we'd have to go again. Yeah, it is. I think it's worth the money.
Is it worth doing it more than once in one year?
I'm not sure if I could justify that, but
right, it's a lot of money, you know. We took about the prices that they are.
Yeah, I know. I do have friends that do go more than once a year,
right?
And I think they sort of split what they're going to do each time, so I suppose you would get everything done in that case.
Yeah, if you had a specific agenda for that trip.
Yeah, but I think if you were going for 2 weeks, to do it twice in the 2 weeks would probably be
too much.
Yeah,
especially if you look at the, if you're going in quite a time, you look at all the attractions that are open, you're actually doing a lot of the park in that evening.
That's right, you can get a lot done.
So you're not necessarily going to spend any time during the day, so you miss a lot of the daytime atmosphere as well. Just for people so they know, if they're listening to this, there are several parties that are still to happen. The 27th, the 28th, the 30th, the 31st, and then the 1st of November. Now, we cannot guarantee that any of these dates are available, and I will be very, very surprised if there are any tickets left for the 31st, because usually they sell out pretty quick.
They do, yeah.
So do check out any of the dates, and you can buy tickets online. In fact, I've just had a look on the Disney website, and according to this, I can still buy tickets for the 31st.
Really?
Yeah, which is really interesting, because usually they're sold out by now. But they are the dates that are left. The 27th, 28th, all those dates there are available. So the 27th, 28th, 30th, 31st, and 1st of November. So that is everything, really. Is there anything we've missed with regards to the Halloween party?
I can't think of anything else. I think we've covered pretty much everything.
It does sound amazing, and especially, you know, you've got Magic Kingdom at night, you've got it full of...
That's it, it gives you a totally different view of the Magic Kingdom, I think, at night.
Certainly with all the Halloween decorations that are up as well, and all of those characters wandering around, it would make a really different, really special atmosphere, I think, for Halloween.
It does. It's well worth doing, definitely, at least once.
So next is the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party.
It is, yeah, that follows on fairly quickly, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, that's coming very, very soon. As soon as they finish, they whip out their Halloween directions and up goes all the Christmas stuff. So that's next, but we're looking at Halloween. And thank you, Emma, for coming on again and sharing
your
wisdom and knowledge. It's always
well,
good.
I try my best.
Do you want to just let everybody know what your YouTube channel is? Because all of the stuff from the Halloween party will be up there eventually on your YouTube channel, won't it?
It will. You can see the 2009 ones now, and yep, it will eventually catch up. So it is EL Nicholson 1 on YouTube.
EL Nicholson 1 on YouTube. Check it out. There's videos going up all of the time. And also, what's your Twitter? Is that the same?
It's at EL Nicholson.
There you go. So it's, and you'll find out when they're posting videos and all sorts of stuff on Twitter as well. You'll find all that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Emma. And
no problem.
Happy Halloween.
Oh, and you too, Adam.
Ghosts and goblins have no chance at the not-so-scary Halloween dance.
Ouch, I guess. Trick or treat.
Gee, you're looking good out there.
Lance up front.
Every day, a new beginning. Every night, a brilliant end. Discover the wonders of Epcot.
You will know if you listen to the show that Craig has been going on about the fact that he's going on a back-to-back cruise in October of this year, and that time is pretty much up. And we're talking to Craig. He's out in Orlando. Hello, Craig.
Hello, Adam. Hello, pod people.
And he's on his phone, so hopefully the line won't sound too bad. But we've not only got Craig, but we also have Little Dunks as well. Hello, Kieran.
Hello.
There he is in the background. But we kind of wanted to talk to you about this sort of... you're going on this cruise, aren't you? Tell us a little bit more about what exactly you're doing.
Okay, right. So Thursday of this week, So a day after the show comes out, see, I'm good. We're going on a three-day Disney Dream Bahaman cruise. So that's Nassau, Nassar, Nassai.
Whatever it's called.
Thank you, Kieran. Yeah, Castaway Key. Yeah. And again, we're doing that. Then we get off. We hang around for half an hour. Then we get back on again and do a four-day, which is basically the same again, but with a day at sea. So altogether, we're away for a week.
Okay.
We've splashed the cash and gone for a nice deluxe ocean view veranda cabin. We've got the same cabin for both of them, so apparently we can leave our luggage in our room, just walk out and walk back in again. So that's really nice. So, yeah, so that's basically what we're doing in a nutshell.
So it's Kieran, are you looking forward to this? Because this is, I know, your first ever cruise, let alone Disney cruise.
Yes, I really am looking forward to it.
Really am. He really am, you see. Not even just is, really am. So, obviously, I think, Craig, have you done a cruise before?
No, I haven't, no. You missed what you said then, Adam. You weren't listening to it.
Sorry.
You should know better. Go on, Kieran, say it again.
Even though I broke my arm, I can still go in everything.
Right, so even though he's broken his arm, he can still do the aqueduct. So that's important. That's the important bit. Right, so you've never done a cruise either?
Well, I've been on a ferry.
Yes, that's quite the same thing. Well, there
it's
we go.
A boat.
So you've got, I suppose, some very interesting sort of perspectives on what you think is going to happen. So what are you expecting, then, basically, from this cruise that you're going on?
Well, do you know what? I think we were talking about this today, actually. I think the thing that's going to shock all of us is just the size of the ship. I think, because we've never seen... I mean, I've never even seen a cruise ship up close. So I think, you know, this 14-storey building, I suppose it is, is going to just blow us away. I think that's kind of the first thing that's going to get to me. And I suppose the other thing is, I mean, I spent the whole 9-hour flight yesterday reading the Passport to Disney Cruise book, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I was actually talking to Dave today about something to do with it. But, you know, those guys, it's not, you know, it's a book where they've been on it and they've written about the things that they've done. And, you know, that's what I like about it. So, you know, I've read all the book. I know kind of what things to do and not to do. But I think I'm just going to be blown away by, I think, two things. One, the size of it. The second thing is the quality of it. You know, I've eaten in lots of Disney restaurants. The kids have, Kieran has, we all have. But I think the food there is at another level, you know, and I'm expecting that to be something quite special,
yes.
Actually.
Yeah.
Looking forward. We're looking at the menus, weren't we, Kieran? And we were looking, I mean, I know you're going to have 30 hot dogs a day, buddy, but... You know, we're looking forward to the food that, you know, is quasi Victorian Albert quality every night. That's one of the things I'm looking forward to.
And have you booked, like, Remy and Paolo, those sort of things?
We've booked Paolo, yeah. We've done that on the second cruise. So what we wanted to do on the first one, because it's only three nights.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's three main restaurants, as you may know.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to experience all of those. And even on the pirate night, on the three-night cruise, they do not change the menu to the pirate menu. So... you still go to your rotational restaurant and you have, you know, the food if it's, you know, Enchanted Garden, whatever one you're at. On the fourth night, though, because we've got that extra night, on the very last night, we're going to go to Paolo's.
Okay. So obviously just you and Debs, because obviously the kids can't go to that.
You can only go once per cruise as well. They're very hot on that.
Oh,
they
won't okay.
They won't let you book Paolo. You can book Paolo and Rene, but you can't book two Paolo's on one cruise. They cross-reference the names. They're very clever.
That's interesting. I didn't realise that they did that. Okay, that's quite interesting. Now, Kieran, I want to talk to you because obviously Dad's going on this cruise to go and eat food and get fatter than he already is. And you have got kids' clubs. Now, do you know much about the kids' clubs that you're going to?
All I know is that they've got this pixie funnel room, which is supposed to be pretty cool. This other room, which has got this interactive dance floor where you can play games on it with a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And another room that we've got in the kids' club is Andy's toy room.
Yes.
Pinky Dog is a long tunnel. There's these massive toys like Rex and things. And there's the kids' lab, which I'm not sure I'm allowed in.
No, you can, Kieran, you can go. The Oceaneers Lab and the Oceaneers Club are open for anyone from 3 to 10, so they don't split them up now.
Yeah, they can swap between rooms as well.
Yeah.
And so, Kieran...
I have other dunks as well now.
Oh, is other dunks there? Go on, stick other dunks on. Let's see.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Hello.
Hello,
Ali. Now, you, when you came to visit me recently, and I said, you know, what's the one thing you'd love to do? You said you'd love to go on a Disney cruise. And obviously your dad surprised you. So what are you expecting when you go on this Disney cruise? What are you looking forward to?
Castaway Key, probably.
So Castaway Key is your big favourite, going to the island. Yeah. And okay. And
I still can't believe how they've told me how big it is.
The boat or Castaway Key?
All of it.
All of it. Well, yeah, the boat's huge. It's absolutely massive. And are you going to go off to some of the kids' clubs that are going to be going on?
Yeah.
And what sort of things are you hoping they're going to do at these kids' clubs?
Do you remember, Alex, any of the things? Because Auntie Cheryl brought them home a navigator from when they went on the
dream. Oh, wow, okay.
I'm quite looking forward to the Goofy sleepover party they do.
And what's that all about?
You go in your pajamas and you go on the interactive dance floor and you play Sleeping Lions and stuff, but with a Disney twist.
Okay. And I know you like your singing, your acting and all that sort of stuff. So
yeah, they do Tinkerbell talent show.
All right, okay, so they've got that for you. So have you practicing your Disney songs ready for that?
Yeah.
And are you looking forward to sort of the shows that are happening? Do you know anything about any of the shows?
I've seen one of them called The Golden Mickeys, and it has a Tangled part in it.
Yes, that's right. And you've got the Disney villains tonight, which is brilliant. And you've got Disney Dreams. And all those things. So that'll be great for you as well. Are you planning on like going to the kids' clubs and not seeing mum and dad like all day, or do you think you'd go and see them?
Well, Daddy said that I have to have dinner.
Right. Okay.
A few nights. I didn't say every night, but we would like to see you for dinner, yeah.
And do you have a restaurant that you're really looking forward to eating in?
Animator's Palette.
Animator's Palette does look amazing, definitely. That looks like it's going to be a really good meal. And they said they're going off to Paolo's and you can't go.
That's unfair.
I know, I think that's unfair. So you have to
really like that, wouldn't you?
You have to get Daddy to make sure he makes you a chocolate souffle. So, you, Craig, have been reading a lot about these books and things, and you've been picking up on all these tips. What are the sort of things that stand out for you as important things for you on this boat? Obviously, you're on it for a week, so you've got quite a bit of time. But is there any sort of things you read you didn't realise about before you read about them?
I think there's quite a lot of it. I mean, I've got to go back to the book. You look at the book, it's fully yellow highlighting in it, Ellie and Kieran. We've been over it quite a bit. I mean, there's lots of tips about things to pack that you wouldn't think of, you know, to maximise the room, the space that you have and different things like that. So that was quite interesting. You know, we were going... This morning we went round to Walmart, got a few bits that it said to get. So there was kind of practical points to it.
Yeah.
But actually on the exploring of it, it was just things that really interested us, like, you know, on the sail away party, where to stay, where to stand. So, you know, we're standing, it's telling us to stand on deck 10. And the timings actually threw me, because, you know, I thought the pirate night, that would be very aimed towards the kids, but actually it's more like being in one of the theme parks, the fireworks are, you know, 10 o'clock.
Yeah, because of the two seatings for dinner and things like that, to make it better. Yeah.
So, you know, that kind of, I didn't quite understand that. But, you know, I think a lot of it, you know, I've read a lot, and it's a bit like doing an exam. I won't know until I'm on it how much I've actually remembered.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was things like, you know, we were very lucky, actually. I mean, we just picked Paolo's on the last night because we thought that would be a nice thing to do for the last night. Mm. We didn't actually realise that's probably the best night to do it, because you don't then miss any of your restaurants out, which you wouldn't want to do. And things like about the kids' club. So, you know, if you have got later seating, and what you can do is have a kid and play dinner, which I didn't know. So you get Alex and Kieran can come and have dinner with us. But within 45 minutes, the counsellors will come and take them away and we can finish our dinner and they can go off and play if they don't want to sit around. So, you know, there was lots of it that I didn't realise how much they actually did for you. Things like, for example, you know, the room service. You can order anything you like. You don't have to say, there's the menu, I want that. If I don't want that, you just tell them and they'll bring it to you. You know, I want chocolate covered strawberries. They'll bring you chocolate covered strawberries. I want the cake of the day. That's what we're going to have, Alex, isn't it? The cake
of the day.
You know, it's things like have a plate of cheeses brought up and you just keep them in your fridge. So, and other things that I would never thought Disney would let you do, for example, you can bring your own booze on. You know,
yes,
I would never have thought they would let you do that. You know,
you obviously have to, if you try and take the alcohol to the restaurants, they will charge you a corkage fee. But one of the things they don't do, was we discovered in the summer, was if you want to take a glass of wine to dinner, if you take it in a glass already, they won't charge you for it because they don't know that you haven't bought it from the bar.
Ah, I like it.
So there's one. There's a good little tip. Because obviously if you're taking a drink into dinner, they won't know where that has come from. So that's always good. The amazing thing is the fact that you've never done a cruise and you're doing a back-to-back cruise on a Disney ship, and this is going to be such a completely different experience. And people who are probably listening to this now will be thinking, you know, that he will never have experienced anything like this in his life. It's going to be amazing. It really is going to be amazing.
I've been very close to it. I mean, it's odd that, you know, my parents who are near enough, my dad's in his 70s, my mum's getting it. You know, they've done a Disney cruise. Next door, Jeff and Cheryl have done hundreds of them. You've done, you know, two of them.
Yeah.
And so I've been very close to it. And it's been one of those things where I think if you're around people and, you know, my mum's are old, but to see them come back and just talk about it and how much they know, obviously they know us and they know the kids, mm-hmm. how much they love it. And then Alex getting into it and getting so wound up that she, you know, that didn't think we were going it. She would be 10 and she wouldn't be in the Oceaneers Club with Kieran. And kind of just seeing how into it she was getting, kind of just me think that actually, you know, whilst I am taking a, you know, a huge punt that we've never done this and we are going to, you know, love it, hopefully, because if we hate it, it's a, you know, a week gone, that it is the right thing to do. It just feels really, really exciting. You know, we everyone knows we come out here quite a lot, and we can get, and it's wrong of us, but we can get a bit blasé about coming out here and, you know, we're over here and we just settle back into our home. But this time has felt really, really special. We were very excited on the plane. You know, we've been very excited today, walking around getting things. You know, all of the cruise stuff taken, packed, is put away in one corner. So there's a real anticipation about this. And I am sure, because I haven't read anything bad about it, it's going to be brilliant. You know, whatever the weather is, it's going to be brilliant. And there is so much... You know, you think about it, okay, so Nassau, okay, maybe not be one of the greatest stops on the trip, but I've never been to the Bahamas, and, you know, that's where Lenny Kravitz comes from, so there's got to be something good going on. So, you know, we're going to enjoy doing that. And then Castaway Cay, well, I mean, that thing just makes Nectar Island look like a Butlins in my mind. It just looks fantastic.
Yes.
The boat itself is, you know, just amazing. So I just think it's going to be wonderful. And, you know, as I said, and I said in my mum's panel application, Disney's all about creating memories. That's what it is. You go out there, you make memories, and you can talk about them for years and years, and that's exactly what this week is going to be for us.
Now, is Kieran still there, or is he gone?
He said he's gone to the loo.
He said he's gone to the loo. Oh, right. Okay, so we're leaving. Now, what's the one thing that you're really looking forward to, the biggest thing? Because obviously everything is so brand new to you.
I think I'm looking forward to... seeing that it seems a stupid thing because I didn't have to get on the cruise to do this, but to see the ship.
Yeah.
To see a cruise ship up close. You know, I've seen lots of programs about building cruise ships. You know, I've done seen all of that. I even watched The Love Boat as a kid, you know, and just want to see the boat. And that, we're going to be like this. We're going to be seeing it from like miles away, driving up, and then keep seeing it.
Yeah.
I think the other thing is just to see the magic of it all, see how magical it is. I want to see how slick it is, Adam. You know, I hear that, you know, the servers learn what you like to drink and, you know, all those sorts of things. And it just seems to me there is so much for them to get wrong, but they always get it right. And I want to know how they do it. I'll be really interested in that. And hopefully there's going to be some kind of... I've read that there's like a kitchen kind of tour you go through.
Yes, there can be.
You know, that sort of stuff, obviously, being part geek, I want to do.
And all that sort of stuff as well.
Yeah. And I think for the kids, and Alex, you can tell me if I'm wrong, for you, it's, you know, we've been on holiday lots of times, but, we don't have a kids' club, obviously, here. And, you know, we're very close to the kids and we like to keep them close to us. We don't really let them... We've never been to a place where they've had a kids' club. So, for them, I think for you, Alex, it's having that kids' club. You know, she's old enough now. I've been mad enough to let her have charging privileges on a card, so she can get Kieran drinks and food or whatever she wants to do. So, you know, them to have that freedom to be perfectly safe, but to just experience probably one of the best kids clubs around.
I'm quite happy I won't get lost because I can't go out.
You can't
with the
really
crew.
Go anywhere. That's very true. You can't get off the boat, and they know where you are. And Alex, you get the thing. You know, you get a chance to do the talent shows. You get a chance to take part. You should be able to get a chance to make flubber.
They do as well. They have like an area in the kids club, like Andy's room, but it's an area all about how they make drawings.
Yep. So you'll be able to see that. And no doubt you will have your own version of Who Wants to Be a Mouseketeer. I think they do there for the kids as well. And obviously characters just appear out of nowhere and come and say hello and all those sort of elements.
Which is a good tip somebody gave us. I can't even remember who it was. We bought a white 9-inch Vinylmation, a plain white one.
Excellent.
You hand it in to guest services, don't give them a pen. It gets all signed by everyone and gets given back to you.
That's right, and you can also do the same thing. We did it for Harry. We got him a pillowcase, and we took it with us. A pillowcase and a Sharpie, and we handed that in, and that got signed, and that got brought back to our stateroom as well. So, yeah, they do things like that, and it is literally signed by all of the characters that you see on the ship throughout the time you're there. Now, are you planning on arriving at the ship early? Are you going to get there sort of nice sort of 9, 10 o'clock?
Well, we've got we're doing something a bit different because it's only just opened. But Disney, I don't know if you probably had it on DisneyBrick.com/news, but there was Disney have recently changed the parking structure at Port Carnival, where you used to be charged per night, $15, and now it's per day, which means you basically get charged an extra day. You get charged the day you leave and the day you arrive.
Right.
So $15 is quite a lot. So, just over the road, a new company has started up called Park and Cruise, which is $7 a day. And apparently it's a 5-minute bus ride to the terminal, so we've booked there. Yeah. So now our port arrival time, we've got the first one, which is 11 o'clock. So we are going to, you know, we don't know how long it's going to take us, an hour and 20 minutes or so. And then we've got to add in, you know, 20 minutes from getting from this place to the terminal. So we are going to leave relatively early, but you know, we've got the first arrival time in the hope that we'll be one of the first on. We've got the tips. You know, we're going to go with our swimsuits and, you know, things that we need in our carry-on. And what's the first thing we're going to do, Alex? So Kieran's gone now, but I know the first thing he's going to do. But what's the first thing you're going to do when you get on the boat, hopefully around 11 o'clock? What you can do, Ali? Well, me and Mummy are going to go up to the top deck and get a posh drink. Kieran's going to go and find where they get a hot dog.
Well, yeah, that's probably the best thing. You know, a lot of people will put all of their suitcases in when they arrive. They'll make sure they've got some swimming stuff in a bag. And we certainly head straight up to top deck. We go up into the buffet at the top, have some lunch. They do all of the posh drinks, which you can pick up. There's an alcoholic and non-alcoholic version. The pools are open, so you can go and jump in the pool nice and early until your stateroom's ready around 1 o'clock-ish. So, yeah, there's all of those opportunities for you to go and enjoy on that ship. And
probably go and get a barbecue chicken pizza.
Barbecue chicken pizza, that's what you're going for, is it?
Instead of tomato sauce on the pizza, it's barbecue.
And then so you're going to try and find a barbecue pizza?
Yeah.
Oh, she's seen it on the menu, Adam. She knows where it goes.
Oh, well, she knows where it is already. Fantastic.
She's got a deck plan. We've got our room has been highlighted on the deck plan. We know where all the places are, don't you, Ali?
Yeah, I've read it back to front, all the books. I'm really excited.
What type of room? Sorry, go on.
And, yeah.
You thought you were going to say then, didn't you?
Yeah.
What type of room have you got?
Deluxe ocean room.
Okay.
Ocean view.
Is that without a balcony, isn't it?
With balcony, yeah. With a balcony. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so you're going to have that opportunity in the evenings to go down to the parks and... not down to the parks, down to the... to the all the entertainment that's going on, and then come up to your room at night and go out onto that balcony and just look out over the ocean, the clear sky and all that sort of stuff, which is an amazing opportunity, and you get to see the stars and everything at night, which is fantastic. I'm so jealous.
You really am.
I know I have, but at the same time I know you're going on a Disney cruise while I'm at work, which is even worse. But I know you're going to have an amazing time, and on the next edition of the show we are going to sort of get your review of the boat, get your review of your first ever cruise, and find out basically what it was like. So we wish you a wonderful trip.
Thank you.
Even in a slightly jealous tone. I know you will have a wonderful trip, and no doubt I will be hearing from you via text as you're on that boat or you're wherever you are, telling me just how wonderful it all is.
Yeah, it would say, ha ha, we're on the boat, you're not.
Yeah, probably. I wouldn't put that past you for doing that at all. But I hope you have a fantastic time, and we will speak to you when you return from your Disney cruise.
Cool. Bye.
A wish your heart makes when you're fast asleep. In dreams you won't lose your heart.
Well, that's the end of the show. Thank you once again for joining us. Thank you, Craig, for staying around.
A pleasure, not a chore.
And we still have no Jers, but he's absolutely fine. Thanks to our sponsors, touringplans.com. You can go to touringplans.com and find out all about their things that are over there. The touring plans, the crowd calendars, and the Lines app. Don't forget to send us your emails, questions, comments, and suggestions to podcast@disneybrit.com. But you can also ring our voicemail. Ring it on 407-545-7980. Make sure you check out the website disneybrit.com for all the latest news and rumours for Walt Disney World and Disneyland Paris. We also have our Facebook page, our Disney Brit fan page. You can also friend up myself, Juz, and Craig. Mouse Mag is still there. You can get episode 4 of Mouse Mag. It's available from magcloud.com. It's also available via the MagCloud iPod or iPad app. We are looking is if there's a possibility of also getting it on Newsstand, which is the new element to iOS 5. We're looking if that's a possibility too. So we'll keep you informed on that as we move along with that.
Leave us a review. It is on Kindle as well, isn't it?
It is on Kindle. You can get it. If you download the PDF, it also works on Kindle, yes. You can leave a review on iTunes and you can go over to our YouTube channel. Do certainly keep an eye on our YouTube channel over the next week or so as we upload some more video footage from the Terrific Night over at Walt Disney World at Disneyland Paris. You can also check out discot.net, our Disney social media site, which is great. And check out our sister podcast at Iron Orlando. And we had a few people who have been asking about Iron Orlando. We have had a few technical issues and a few scheduling issues, which means we haven't been able to record an episode over the past couple of weeks. But I can promise you it is coming back this Friday. So do check that out. And that's pretty much everything. It leaves me with nothing else to say other than the next edition of the show will be available on Wednesday, the 9th of November. And at the end of this outro music that you can hear right now, you will hear the audio from Disneyland's Haunted Mansion Holiday. So until then, we'll see you.
was the nightmare before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was peaceful, not even a mouse. The stockings all hung by the chimney with care, when opened that morning would cause such a scare. The children, nestled all snug in their beds, would have nightmares of monsters and skeleton heads.
Happy holidays, everyone!
Was a long time ago, longer now than it seems, in a place that perhaps you've seen in your dreams. For the story that you are about to be told began the holiday worlds of old. I know you're curious to see what's inside. It's what happens when two holidays collide. Welcome, my friends, to our Christmas delight. Come witness a ghoulishly glorious sight. It's time for our holiday tale to begin. There's no turning back now. Please, come all the way in. Our holiday tale is a tale that's quite charming, but during this season, it's sometimes alarming. So relax and reflect. Feel free to take pause while we tell you a tale about dear Sandy Claus. T'was the nightmare before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was peaceful. Not even a mouse. The stockings all hung by the chimney with care, when opened that morning would cause such a scare. The children, nestled all snug in their beds, would have nightmares of monsters and skeleton heads.
Happy holidays, everyone!
Holiday, you will want to survive. Jack Skellington came here from Halloween Town. You'll notice his handiwork scattered around. This year, he's decided to play Sandy Claus. But when Halloween creates Christmas, you might see a few flaws. And now, a dark carriage will take you away. sit back, rest in peace in your black Christmas sleigh. Your sleigh will accommodate one or two more. We hope you're prepared for what Jack has in store. Don't pull down the bar. It will float down with ease. And remember, no flash photography. Please. Yes, down through the chimney, Jack flew like a bat, clutching his magical Sandy Claus sack. He ripped open the sack and, in moments it seems, created a Christmas you have in bad dreams. More rapid than vultures, the mansion was changed. All was soon covered, adorned, and deranged. And what to your wondering eyes disappears is Jack's little friend Zero, the ghost dog reindeer. Nothing here was forgotten. It all looks so pleasant. A coffin, Jack says, makes a fine Christmas present. A man-eating plant makes a wonderful wreath, as long as you don't get caught in its teeth. Jack's holiday vision was unlike no other. So ring out the bells, there's more cheer to uncover.
On the 13th day of Christmas, my ghoul love gave to me 13 rings of power, embracing strength that never ends. 12 signs of the zodiac that rule the future and transcend. 11 candles floating, their scent of mystery in the air. 10 telling tea leaves that swirl with secrets yet to share. On the 9th day of Christmas, my ghoul love gave to me 9 magic crystals that sparkle with a force that is pure. 8 balls of knowledge that answer with a truth that is sure. 7 pearls of wisdom to keep my love bewitched to me. 6 mystic mirrors reflecting futures yet to be. On the 5th day of Christmas, my ghoul love gave to me 5 lucky charms to understand the right from wrong. 4 wheels of fortune to spin their rich and golden song. 3 lifelines extending help to those in need. 2 passion potions that love and romance may succeed. On the 1st day of Christmas, my ghoul love gave to me a star, a brilliant star for my fortune card tree.
With some treats and some games, you can make a scene merry. Why, even a gingerbread house could seem scary. All at once, happy haunts did materialize, like a nightmarish painting by Courier and Ives.
Thank you.
toys Jack had slung on his back. They were strange and bizarre, and on the attack. Sandy Claus worked his magic both outside and in, but one final touch made his bony face grin. Now what better gift on my friends to bestow than a graveyard that's covered in ghostly white snow?
It's Christmas!
Have you been good this year?
Ho, ho, ho!
What's this? Can you believe your eyes? I like this Christmas thing. C-Zero, I told you they would like my Christmas.
Fruitcake, anyone? Ho, ho, ho!
I really outdid myself this time. Look at all the happy faces.
Season's greetings, everyone! It's Christmas time!
Welcome to Oogie's Holiday Tricks
centuries. Round and round she goes. What's your gift? Oogie knows. Are you getting a trick or a treat? Isn't this fun? I can't wait to see what you get. It's gift-giving time. You get what you get. Have I got a present for you? It's all good here. Sugar and spice, naughty and nice. Have you been naughty or nice? Well, looky who we got here. I have a special holiday something just for you. Hang on to your holiday hat. Oogie Claws is coming at you.
Hurry back!
Be sure to bring your gift certificate! Season screamies, everyone!
Hurry back!
Don't let the tombstone hit you on the way out. I've got plenty more tricks and treats in store for your next visit.
Hurry back.
Hurry back.